Behind every planner, there's a person. Behind every person, there's a story. Join me each Friday on Planner Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica McWilliams. I want to know the stories planner people possess. I'll guide my guests to reveal just a bit more about their personal lives than pretty paper and productivity. But of course, we relish in that too. Please welcome my next guest. Lexi Dugo's here with us today, guys, and she's sharing all about her free content planner. So stay tuned to find out how you can get one for yourself. She also talks about using a brain dump to smooth our anxieties and how to build strong habits. Hint, it's not using your motivation. Hi guys, I'm a Shipt ambassador. That means you can use the special promo code PLANPOD10 for $10 off your first order at Shipt.com and 2 weeks off your annual membership. For every one of my listeners that signs up with Shipt.com, I also receive $10. So this is a great way to help keep the podcast running. Shipt is a same-day delivery service that's spelled S-H-I-P-T because it's a cool app and they can't be bothered for two P's and an E-D. S-H-I-P-T.com. Use the promo code PLANPOD10. Thanks for your support. I have the pleasure of talking with the owner and face behind paperinaplan.com. Get ready to hear from the 21-year-old college student, cat lover, and sushi fanatic, Lexi Dugo. She's a productivity babe that creates and curates helpful, beautiful content for planners everywhere. While attending classes, maintaining her website, growing a social media influence, and preparing a new business, she leaves room for video games when she can squeeze in the time. Please welcome Lexi Dugo. Well, hi, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're a cat lover. I'm going to start out by asking you, what are your cat's names?
Well, I actually have four of them. So one of them is Kyrie from my favorite video game. The other is Odysseus, Shadow, and Midnight.
Oh, cute. Can we plan on seeing them with their own Instagram account as cat bosses promoting productivity and cat lifestyles anytime soon?
That would be absolutely adorable. I actually feature them a lot, like in my Instagram stories and stuff. So they're always there making like mini appearances.
Well, we know that you're a fan of both productivity and lifestyle, as we can see on your Instagram accounts. So you have your planner-focused account, which is at Paper and a Plan, and your new profile at Lifestyle with Lexi, which focuses more on your personal style.
Yes.
Yes. So I was flipping through, and I saw a photo of you sitting in front of the mirrored sculpture Cloud Gate by Anish Kapoor in Chicago. And while you were sitting there, I noticed that you were wearing a black backpack with a gold zipper, which leads me to the part of the show where we get to know you a little bit better and play What's in Your Bag?
Oh, my.
So you don't have to tell us what was in your bag on that specific day. But if you want to give us a couple of details about some of your everyday carry items, or I've seen that backpack also just recently, you were doing a hike at, was it a state park that you went to?
Yes. It was Starved Rock State Park.
So I think you even brought, did you bring that backpack there too?
I have a couple of like minier backpacks, so I just kind of like have them on rotate, but I do have quite a few bags, so. It'll probably be different a lot of the time.
Right. Okay. Well, what's inside your bag? Give us a look inside.
Well, typically what I would carry with me is just kind of like the basics. Like I always have my planners with me. I always have just like my wallet, keys, phone, because I can't leave my house without that stuff. A lot of the times I also have like a smaller makeup pouch with me just in case. And like, more often than not, I always have like a little like mini first aid kit that I always keep with me. Most of the time, it's just stuffed with like randomness as well, because bigger bags are kind of my downfall because I feel like I have to stuff it with just whatever I can find. But most of the time, it's just the basics. Always have my planner, always have first aid, always have my phone, chargers, anything that I would need for the entire day, because most of the time when I'm out for longer periods of time. So you just have to make sure that you're prepared. So mostly the basics, nothing terribly exciting, but I always make sure I have what I'll need for the rest of the day.
So let's go right into paperinaplan.com and tell me what led you up to starting your website.
It was a lot of Pinterest, I think. Like, I was always just looking through Pinterest, and I was looking through, like, a lot of people's ideas, and I'm like, you know, this would be something really cool to start, because before I had just had my YouTube channel, and I had just kind of been on Instagram, like, showing my planners and showing people how I planned out my life and, like, kind of what was helping me, like, through YouTube and all that. And I kind of thought that I've always really liked writing, and that blogging would be something that would be a new outlet for me. It was never something that I actually planned on doing, because I had always read blogs, and I was kind of going through the whole, like, blogging is dead phase, even though that's such a lie. So I was like, there's no way that I could start a blog and, like, have it actually go somewhere, until I actually did it and realized how successful it really was. So it was mainly through trial and error and just a lot of Pinterest research, I think. But I'm really glad that I had started it, because it's led me to where I am.
Yeah. And you've hit on a thing, you know, our blog's dead. But really, I think what I see, at least for, I don't know, tell me if you agree or not, but it's kind of a home base in a way. I mean, a lot of us mm-hmm. kind of have maybe found one social media outlet to kind of grow our community a little bit more, or a following or networking, if you will. But when you get so many of them, like, okay, you're on YouTube, you're on Instagram, you're doing this or that, it's kind of nice to say, okay, go to paperinaplan.com. And then you can kind of branch out, you know, instead of being like, oh, my mm-hmm. handle over here is, and my handle over there is, kind of just bring it all together. So,
yeah, that is so true.
Yeah. So if listeners go to Paper and a Plan, you offer a free printable. If they are in, like, content creation, you have a calendar for, what do you call it? Editorial calendar, content calendar. What do you call it? Well, tell us about that.
I'm calling it my content planner overall, because it has a little bit of everything in it. So it does have, like, an editorial calendar. It has, like, the yearly overview. I have weekly pages in there, a bunch of checklists. So it basically has everything that I've ever needed for just planning out any of my content, whether it be blogging or, like, social media content. I've put a little bit of everything and my process into that free planner printable. And like you said, it is on my website. It's totally free. It just basically helps you plan your content, create your content, and really narrow down on what you want to post and how to do it. And just this way you're organized and everything's in one spot, which is what I really liked about it. And I thought that it would be really helpful for other people too, since it is the pretty much exact process that I use when I'm going through and planning my content.
Yeah, so why reinvent the wheel? We'll enjoy your hard blood, sweat, and tears that went into it.
Well, thank you.
How can we be spontaneous while still using your content planner?
I'm definitely always spontaneous with what I do. So I definitely made sure to include that actually in there. In the monthly page where the editorial calendar is, I have put an extra spot down at the bottom for, like, almost like bonus ideas, I would say. So it's for extra ideas that you're not necessarily planning out, but you have backup ideas in case one day you're like, I really don't feel like posting this, or, you know, like, I just really don't like this idea and want to scrap it. You always have, like, a backup idea planned out, so that this way you can just use that one instead of maybe what you had planned, because people's styles and ideas and, I guess, just content is always changing. Like, you're never going to have one specific set of ideas or posts that you want to use, like, right then and there. At least I don't. I'm always spontaneous with it. I always just have a bunch of ideas that I have collectively placed in my notebooks or planners just to use, just in case, because, I mean, stuff changes all the time. So I would definitely just recommend, even with content planners, it's like you have a structure, but it's not necessarily, like, you know, your step-by-step. It's like a guide, basically. So you don't have to use it to a T or anything. You can always mix it up. I use erasable pens a lot, too. That always helps. So this way you can just scribble something out, or using Post-its instead of, like, having something permanently on paper, because you can always just readjust whenever you need it.
Right. It's not like you're making a blood oath, you know, because
yeah, exactly.
you wrote it down once. But I think definitely there's maybe a doldrums in content creation. So when you're feeling that, you, if you've taken the effort previously, you can go to that and be like, oh, yeah, it's this week. And sometimes just push it out. I mean, not to say that we're creating just to create and, you know, putting out poor quality content just because we have to. But I, you know, I appreciate that having that scaffolding there for the days where maybe like inspiration isn't just like barking at our heels and we're just like, yep, okay, we had a good idea once. Let's make sure it gets out. So if listeners go to paperandaplan.com/content planner, they should be able to get the printable for themselves. And if they do use it and they want to post it on social media, what hashtags should they use so you can see it and we can, you know, share the word that it's out there?
I actually have one overall like hashtag for everything that's paper and a plan related. It's hashtag productivity babes. It's mostly on Instagram, so I use that hashtag there since that's my primary social media, but you can use hashtag productivity babes, and I usually feature everybody as well in my stories. So
great. I can't wait to see everyone who uses it. Well, before we move on to our next segment, it's time for a mini game I call List It. So that is a part of the show where I will give you a category and you will have to list as many items in that category in 20 seconds as you can. So let me get my timer up here. 1 minute. Okay. Since you always find time to play these, the category is video games. Ready?
Oh my. Mm-hmm.
Go.
Controller, PS4, Xbox, headphones. Obviously video games, I guess. Overwatch. Oh my god. Why am I blinking? Fortnite.
5 seconds.
Kingdom Hearts. Star Wars, Battlefront. Black Ops.
Oh, there you go, 20 seconds.
I'm like, why am I blanking on this right now? This should be so easy. My whole room is like surrounded by video game themed items. Like, this shouldn't be hard. But it was.
In the list of video games, you mentioned video games.
I was like, well, I mean, like, that's got to be general, right? That counts.
Oh, on my show, it counts. You are known for your gray, pink, gold, and white images, your puzzle feed on Instagram, and among other things, your can-do attitude. But not everything always works out. When has there been a time that a system or product or style didn't work out for you? Like maybe you thought it would, or just you never got to it, or something like that.
Well, one thing in specific that I thought of right off the bat was definitely my Instagram and how I kind of branded myself when I first started. I always kind of looked at other people's feeds and styles and tried to mimic what I saw by putting my own twist on it. But I realized that kind of by looking at other people and doing what other people are doing isn't exactly doing what's working for you. So that's kind of when I discovered the whole puzzle feed thing, and I really, really, really enjoy it, and I really plan on sticking with that. It took a lot of trial and error, as most things do, but for sure, like, if you scroll down my feed, like, you can see where I've changed my style throughout the year and a half that I've been on Paper and a Plan, so it's definitely a learning experience. You're never going to get it on the first try, so it kind of discouraged me at first when I was consistently changing things up, because you don't always, I guess, think that it's not going to work out for you. You're always hoping that it will. So I was like, oh, like, I can't get this style right. I can't get this down. Like, I don't know what I want, you know, Paper and a Plan to really look like for myself, until I discovered the puzzle feed, and then it took off from there.
And it just felt right.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It was just, I kind of knew that that's the style that I wanted to go for, because it looked really feminine and it looked really put together, like, at the same time. And that's exactly what I wanted, because, you know, productivity and everything, you want a cohesive feed and you want everything to look like it's, I guess, organized, because, I mean, I'm writing about productivity and organization.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You kind of want to have like the look of like an organized feed that's still simple, but pretty at the same time. And that's exactly what I was going for.
I think you've achieved it. That's great. Well, and I like how you mentioned, yes, you're welcome. I like how you mentioned just starting and then realizing something's maybe not working, even though it's a good idea. I went through that. I started a YouTube channel called 3 Minute Planner, and I still think it's a great idea to do a short video, like a 3 minute, or, you know, like almost like an extension of a longer, like tasty food video, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like just a snippet. But just because it's a good idea doesn't mean it's right for you and bringing your strengths or what you want it, what, you know, what you want to do with it. And that's how I started looking into making a podcast. When I go to planner meetups and different things like that in real life, I'm kind of known for talking. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a miracle if I get my planner out. And I'm like, why don't I explore this further and talk with people in the planner community and bringing out those diverse ideas and the stories behind the planner. So anyways, I'm glad to hear that I'm not alone where you kind of, you go, I mean, not that you completely stop paper and a plan and went a different direction, but even just a style or a branding and kind of pivoting and kind of digging into what brings you the most joy and feels like you and stuff like that. So you also mentioned looking at other people, and I think there's a fine line between research and inspiration and kind of getting lost in it all. How do you balance the allure of shiny things syndrome or other people's successes, you know, their model, while maintaining like a down-to-earth, get-her-done vibe?
I think what's really helped me is kind of knowing exactly what I wanted for paper and a plan and just anything else that I do in the future. It really comes down to like, what is your overall vision? Like, what is it exactly that you want to put out for yourself? Because, you know, you can always look at somebody else and think, oh my God, that idea is so cool. You know, I would like to try something like that, you know, with what I'm doing. But at the same time, you also have to remember like, and take a step back. Okay, is this, you know, the type of content that I want to put out? Or is this the image that I want for myself? Or, you know, do I want my feed to look this type of way? So I think really what's helped me is just like vision boards and just kind of knowing exactly what it is that I've wanted for paper and a plan. Because you have to be kind of picky with, you know, your branding and your style and everything, because that's ultimately what makes whatever you create yours. So you don't want to go too deep into what somebody else is doing, because then it's not really you anymore. So I've always just kept really focused with that and just kind of learned how to narrow down like what's a cool idea for something else that I might be working on and like what I can actually include into what I'm doing with paper and a plan.
Right. Speaking of paper and plans, what paper planner are you using right now?
I have actually transitioned into using one planner, which is the craziest thing ever, and I never thought this would happen. But I bought a Kate Spade planner 2.5 years ago now, which is so crazy to think about. And I am still using that, and I believe I'm using Daytimer inserts with that. But I love my Kate Spade. I've been using it consistently like for the past 2 years, and I've never stopped, and now it's just kind of like my catch-all, and I'm obsessed with it, and I love it right now.
So for those who of my listeners who may not have been following you yet, which I'm sure they'll go over and check you out, but what can you describe, like which Kate Spade planner, like color or whatever, what's the finish, that kind of thing?
So for my Kate Spade planner, it is a ballet pink. It's a zip around, a 6-ring planner, and then it's all leather and it has like gold trim. I have a couple like little accessories on the zipper, but yeah, for the most part, it's just a ballet pink. It has the pink finish, all leather, like I said. It has like little gold detailing on the inside as well. Kate Spade always has super simple but elegant planners. So if you're looking for something that's simplistic but still has like a lot of organizational factors, I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, I love how it, I don't have one, but I love how it zips all the way around. I feel like it just contains, especially if you add any knickknacks is maybe not the right word. What's the word? Ephemera,
like,
or whatever.
Yeah, which is just kind of like embellish. I don't even know if it's like embellishments is the right word to use.
It was
right
like
now.
Scrapbooking days. Embellishments.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Or receipts. I mean, on a more practical level, you know, if you're just
absolutely
throwing it in, it just And I don't know, sometimes I feel like in the planner community, depending, we're very protective of the pages that we've planned. It's like, so I don't true. Want some hand sanitizer opening up on
honestly,
2 months ago.
Because it's so, like, the zipper on really truly does, like, protect everything that you have in there. Like, none of your, like, accessories are going to, like, fall out or anything. Like, you don't have to worry about anything going anywhere. If you spill something on it, like, all you have to do is clean the outside. Your whole entire planner isn't destroyed. So it is a really nice, like, touch to it, actually. It's probably something that really made me like it more than my other ones. I actually have a soft spot in my heart, though, for, like, the passion planner style planners, like where it's kind of just like book bound almost. I love book bound planners. I usually use those more or less for like, I do like a lot of memory keeping and stuff now because I don't really have like a traditional journal or anything and I don't really scrapbook like hardcore. So I've kind of like found my happy middle with just kind of at least like journaling out my ideas in a planner style. So I really love like book bound planners for that purpose. But otherwise, my everyday planning style is definitely ring bound because I can always just reuse the outside cover. And my Kate Spade right now is like my baby. So I would be sad if I ever had to stop using it.
I know. Okay. So before our third segment, let's play another game called Top Three. So there's no timers this go round. I have a bowl filled. Yeah. No timers. I have a bowl filled with scraps of paper naming different categories. You will give me your top three suggestions for whichever three categories I pick out. And just as a preface, I know there are many great planner people and items out there, so narrowing it down might be a little hard. So as close as to top three as you want, or just anything that any three you enjoy, even if it's, you know, you're not like leaving the number fourth out. You know, like, you don't have to feel bad or hurt anyone's feelings. Okay, any questions?
Nope.
Got it?
You can do it.
Okay. Topic one. Online influencers.
Oh, my. definitely. Okay, number one is for sure, like, Jenna Kutcher. Like, I am obsessed with her. She's, like, such an inspiration in so many ways. So she definitely has to be like top spot. Like that's number one. Number two is Kat Gaskin. I know I'm going to butcher her last name and I'm so sorry in advance. she's more of like a travel blogger and I've been following her for so long that like, I don't know. I just feel like attached to her account. Like I love it. It's so just, it's basically my dreams in a feed. And then I'm trying to think. I also really like it's Roxy James on Instagram as well. She also does YouTube. She has a channel called, oh my God, Roxy in Paris. She has like one that she does with her sister and then just one with her. And she does like a lot of different like lifestyle stuff. And I'm just, she's basically me. So that's basically, I think that's my top three. Oh, it's so hard to narrow it down because I follow so many amazing people, but I'm going to have to lock that in at top three. It's
okay.
So hard.
We'll stick with that. All right. Two more. Let me grab them out. Okay. Topic two. Pens.
Oh, no. When you think it wasn't going to get any more difficult. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, definitely my friction pens. That's got to be number one because, like I said earlier, like I'm super spontaneous of a person, so that has to happen. Like erasable pens have to be a thing. I also like the flare pens, even though sometimes they bleed a little bit, but I still like the way that they finish, look, as far as handwriting goes. That's probably number two. Oh my God. And then any type, it doesn't even matter, any type of like fine tip, like almost like a gel pen, kind of almost like, I don't, you know what I'm talking about? Like where it's not really like a gel pen, but it's,
yeah,
like, I don't know, more like,
yeah, what are they,
you know what
that?
I mean? Like, I don't,
yeah, like
know
the
what
nib
they call
of it
that. That's
is right. Like the nib is, you know what nib is? I know that sounds so weird.
Like
the nib of the pen. I think that's the right word. I went to college for art education, and we had to take like a calligraphy type of class. And I wish any of it it wasn't an entire class, but definitely pen and ink drawing and stuff. And I'm like, oh, see, for me that was like over 20 years ago. So I'm trying to be like, oh man, I should have paid more attention. Anyways, I think the nibs were like the different little tips of the calligraphy pens. Yeah, like I think there's one I've tried recently called a Micron or something like that, which is it's almost like scratchy when you use it. Anyway, so any fine tip pen.
Basically any fine tip, I guess, quote unquote gel style pen.
Yeah,
for lack
Inkjoy
of better
gel
words.
Is one of my favorites. The Inkjoy gel is one of my favorites. So
yeah.
Okay, last category. Let's see what you get. Okay. Topic 3. Sticker shops.
Oh my. I feel like going through my Etsy right now and just being like, okay, well, here we go. Here's all of them. But definitely.
What's in your cart?
Yeah, seriously. Like, it's all right there. Perfectly Kawaii Co. is, like, one of my all-time favorites. Like, not even just because I, like, PR for her, but literally, like, I am obsessed with everything she has. Like, every single time we make a PR package, I'm like, can I just have, like, one of everything please? Because they're just so cute. I'm obsessed. And then I'm trying to remember what the name of this one shop was, and it's going to bother me to death because I used to use her stickers.
I can edit this part.
All the time. Okay, here we go. I found it.
Okay.
So Samantha May Sticks, I am obsessed with all of her stickers. They're fantastic. They're all super functional. And then, I guess as cliche as it is, probably like Sweet Kawaii Designs. Like, I love her designs. They're just, I don't know, they're just so freaking cute. And I know that's like Sweet Kawaii Designs. Like, obviously they're going to be cute, but those are probably my top three. Like, I've always bought from all three of those shops, always. So those are like my go-to.
Great. That's good. That last one you mentioned, that's is it Tasia that runs that shop?
Yeah.
That was one of the first people or online like planner sticker, like what are you doing? You know, like in late 2015, like, wait a minute. This is awesome.
Like, this is happening. Yeah, started this huge barrage of like different sticker shops, but I feel like she was like, yeah, probably one of like the original like Etsy sticker sellers, and I've just been going to her ever since. I guess it just kind of stuck.
Well, and I have an affinity for Kawaii. When I was in high school, I lived in Japan for about 3 months.
Oh, that's fun.
Kawaii. It's Japanese, right? Like the little, it means cute, right? It means cute. So I don't know. And it was at a time, you know, in high school, your experiences are so kind of formative. I just kind of draw to that. Even as an adult who's almost 40, I'm like, I need a face on this because otherwise.
Otherwise, like, what am I even doing?
What is the point of life if there's not a cute smile on this right now with blushed cheeks? So I have
true
spot for that.
I feel like that's the majority of my stickers. Like, all of them have, like, this same, like, kawaii style, like, stickers. Like, it's just primarily what I have.
I know. I remember when I first started planning, I kind of looked at it and I was thinking, like, do I have any pages where something's not looking at me? There's eyes everywhere. Oh, funny.
Every page.
Yeah.
Lori's just going to go with cute faces.
Okay, so getting back to school, and because that time is upon us, there is a season or mentality of motivations are at an all-time high with a back-to-school vibe. Usually we like new setups, we might get a few new pens, a new backpack, certainly in college, painfully, a lot of new books.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And you've said that you know how best to prepare yourself for when the motivation wears thin, like how to succeed, even though because motivation might get you up, but it's not going to keep you there. Will you tell me your ways?
Absolutely. So as far as like motivation goes, I think that's something that you really have to have at least like when you're first starting out. Like if you don't have the motivation to like move forward or, you know, continue or start something new, then ultimately you're not going to get anywhere. So you do kind of have to have like a motivational factor at least when you're kickstarting. But really what it boils down to is making that motivation into a habit. And this could go with anything like working out, like starting a new blog, or if you want to like start your YouTube channel, because I know so many people who are bloggers who also want to start like their own channels, but are too afraid to like just get out there and do it. And that's like always my number one piece of advice, is just turning that motivation into habits. Like it has to be something that you're doing every day. Like set it in your planners, like make a scheduled time slot for it. Move your schedule around. Cause I mean, if it's really something that's truly important to you, I've always found the time for things that mean the most to me, whether it's 10 minutes of my day, or I can take a bigger chunk out of my day and take like an hour for it. Like I'm always finding the time to really like narrow down and make it into a habit. So it's something that I'm doing every day, and I don't just like fall into the, I guess, like motivational trap of just having it be like this huge rush of like, I'm going to do this. And then like 2 weeks later, you're just like laying on your bed, not doing anything. And just You've completely forgotten about what you had your mind set to. So really the key is, like I said, turning that into a habit. This way it's something that you're constantly thinking about. So this way you're just constantly doing it, because I think I read something where it takes like 21 days to make a habit or something. So I always do my best, like, even if it's just for like those 21 days, to do it every single day, because Even if after that I'm not doing it every single day, it's still something that's going to be on my mind because I've been doing it every day for the past 21 days. So that's kind of my trick for doing it.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe at the end of those 21 days, you can then reassess, you know, like, is that initial motivation something that I want to continue even pursuing, without feeling like, oh, I just gave up, I failed, you know, kind of framing it in a positive, like, I'm going to do this for this long, and then be able to give yourself permission to continue that, or say, you know, even after doing it every day, that initial idea I had, or that motivation, or that pop of inspiration, isn't maybe going to be long term, or, you know, and just being honest with yourself and being like, you know, and then maybe pick something else. So I like that 21 day. Well, and I think that's like the eating thing, diet or whatever, the 21 day fix.
Oh, the 21 day fix. I totally did that. It's amazing.
So, you know, that's also a habit forming, and maybe not too long to be like, oh, I can never commit. You know, it's less than a month. So, I mean, harder maybe to do than say, but especially around eating and stuff. But okay, so what productivity advice, speaking of school days and things, would you give someone just entering college classes? So maybe they graduated last spring and they're getting started, or perhaps even going back for a second time or for the first time later in life. Like what would, can you shed some light on that?
As far as productivity advice goes, I would just say try your best not to overload yourself. Like my first semester into college, I took, I think, 6 classes at the same time, because I was so used to like high school where it's like, you know, you got your 30-minute or 40-minute period of whatever class you have, and then, you know, you're on to the next one for 40 minutes, and it's just like whatever. Most of the time you don't have a lot of homework and stuff to really be focusing on anyways. Finals aren't really that hard in high school, at least for me. I pretty much blew through my high school years. So I thought college was going to be like a breeze. Like it was just going to be whatever. And I ended up completely overloading and overworking myself. And I finished, but it was not something that I would ever recommend to anybody. Like no matter how fast you're trying to get through school, no matter how quickly you're trying to, you know, get all these classes out of the way, my number one advice to everybody is always just take it easy, like maybe 3 or 4 classes, like at most. That's usually what I do, just because there is a lot more work and a lot more focus that goes into college than any other time period as far as school goes, pretty much in your life. Like, it's a huge deal for a lot of people because, I mean, ultimately that defines your degree and your career and what you're doing with your life. So you just don't want to try to breeze through it and then end up overloading yourself.
Yeah, that's great advice. I think it sounds so, you know, the number, oh, 6 classes, like what? But to really understand that each class is a certain amount of credits and what a typical credit load might be for your institution or for your major line, or, you know, they even might have a max at some places. Like, they don't want you to take a certain amount because they want you to succeed. So just, yeah, I would say familiarizing yourself with how many outside of the class hours do you think this class will take per credit? You know, for example, yeah, you might meet twice a week. Oh, that's great. You know, Tuesday, Thursday seminars at 9 or whatever. But then, oh, is there an extra lab for 4 hours? Or do you write an essay every week? Or, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot more time that goes into it than just like a worksheet for homework that night, you know?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people don't really necessarily realize that either. Like, because especially just going in, like, you have the same like high school mentality of it's like, oh, it's whatever. I could just do my homework like all in one night. Like, no, you can't. I used to think the same thing, but you really can't because there's a lot more time consuming assignments and projects than, you know, just like one or two worksheets that you're doing in class. So I think you hit it really on the head when you said, like, yeah, you might meet 2 times a week, but what are you doing outside of the class that's going to help you succeed?
Right. Well, walk me through creating a brain dump, because I think that process might relate to, like, if you have a vastness, like, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, man, questioning, am I overloading myself? You know, and really having that anxiety kind of being like nebulous, like floating, like you're thinking of all these things, whether it even be like setting up a dorm or like if you're going back to college later in life, like how am I going to balance my work life, my family life and all of that kind of thing with these new class pursuits? How would doing a brain dump, do you think, help the vastness of the back to school idea or grind, do you think?
I feel like brain dumps are always really good whenever you have a bunch of ideas or like worries that are in your head, because I think most of the time what happens with a lot of people, including myself, is that you have all these ideas in your head and you're mixing them up and it seems a lot more complicated than it really is when you can't like physically see it laid out in front of you. Like, I'm completely redoing my room right now, for example, and I was freaking out because I'm like, where am I going to put everything? I have so much stuff. Like, I just don't know what I'm going to do with it all or how I'm going to move everything around. And so I took the time, I sat down with like a notebook and just listed out all of the ideas that I had, all of the possibilities that there were. And it helped a lot to physically see something in front of me and then be like, okay, this isn't exactly as hard as I thought it was going to be. So I feel like when you have stuff that's just jumbled inside your head, brain dumps really help because it gives you that like physical factor of being able to like see everything right in front of you. And I'm obsessed with them because it just helps so much and it makes you worry a lot less because you can actually see it. I usually just take a piece of notebook paper and I just write the topic on the top. And then I mostly list. I'm sort of a lister. So I kind of just go down and like make little sections for myself. Like, okay, this is what I'm going to do with this half of my room. This is how I'm going to reorganize it. This is the stuff that I'm going to get rid of. Like, I kind of block it all together, or not together, but I block each topic like separately on the same page. And it really helps as like an organizational factor.
Right. Especially looking back at it and thinking, what am I going to do with this list? Although there is some merit to just like a stream of consciousness listing. You know, where you don't have to think like, okay, well, what category is this going to be in? You know, and then kind of looking it over and then putting it into categories, that can be helpful too if you're just totally stuck. Because I've done a brain dump once where it's like, it's literally like, okay, start a podcast, pick up milk from the grocery store. Like, it has nothing.
That definitely happens too.
It's just like, these are things I need to do, big and small. So, okay, well, what I want to know, what are you studying this year? when you go back to school?
For this semester in particular, I actually decided to take off, since we are talking about not overworking yourself. I decided to take this semester off, but when I do go back the following spring semester, I will be finishing up my business management degree, hopefully. I have 3 more math classes to take, because those are always fun. And then I'm also going to be taking a Chinese class, so that'll be cool. And I have to take another science class as well. So I have a couple of different courses that I'm going to be taking. Most of those I'll probably get done my first semester back, and then the other ones I'll have done by fall of next year. So,
ooh, kind of getting to the end there a little bit.
It's crunch time.
Yeah. So you are pretty open about kind of having plans for a new business. Is that something that you can discuss, or like, what are you dreaming up over there?
So this is like a total work in progress. I have a couple ideas, and I'm mainly just deciding which route that I really want to take, because I guess what sort of happened is that it started off as a lot of like productivity and just kind of like tips and tricks. Like, I never really expected that to like turn into a business of any sort, to be honest. And then it kind of just came to me like, okay, well, like, you're already doing what you love, and like, you're already helping people, and there's already like so much that you're giving, like, just for free. Like, there's people actually making money for doing the stuff that they love while still being passionate about it. So I'm really just trying to like find a way to take all of that passion and love and just kind of like transition it into something that I can still help people with, but, you know, you can also turn into a business. I've always been really into virtual assistanting, so I'm actually currently looking into that, just because there are so many people out there who just either don't have the time, or just, you know, struggle with productivity or struggle with getting things done in a short amount of time. And I would love to be able to help other people with that, just because that's something that's always kind of came to me naturally. So I've been looking into that more recently. I just kind of have to decide where I want to go with it, if that's the path that I want to take. Mm-hmm. But currently, that is what I'm looking into.
Oh, can't wait to see what happens. Okay, so before we wrap up our time together, humor me and play one more game. It's called...
Sounds good.
It's called What's Not. I will list 6 facts, one of which is not true. Your job is to guess which one is made up. Okay, and the topic is kinds of sushi.
Oh, yeah.
I did not take it easy on you. I was digging deep. Okay, some may be a little bit more obvious to you, but the listeners can play along too. So if they are not sushi fanatics, or have never lived in Japan, they might be like, oh, which one is it? And try to make a guess too. So as I list them, I'll have to give you the number and then a name. Ready? 1. Ahi nigiri. 2. Hamachi. 3. Gunkin maki. 4. Tomego. 5. Taco sushi. 6. Shibuya roll. Okay, those are all the facts.
Okay, well, I really hope that taco sushi is the thing. I'm just gonna say that. So I'm like, honestly, like, kind of just that, because I really truly feel like taco sushi should be a thing. I'm just gonna be so disappointed if that's the one that it is, but I really don't think so, because I feel like somebody should have already created that. I'm honestly kind of debating between 1 or 3, but I don't, like, Shibuya, I'm pretty sure, is an actual place in Japan. So I would feel like that would be like an actual sushi roll.
So you're thinking maybe 1, 3, or 6? Or no, maybe not 6? What do you think?
I'm thinking like 1 or 3, probably.
Okay, narrow it down. Which one? Ahi nigiri or gunkin maki?
I'm going with 3, I think.
Okay, gunkin maki is true. That is a type of Japanese food. It's made with akira.
Is it?
Yeah, which is fish eggs. So in that's much more well-known of a traditional type of food that you might find that a lot of Americans, like, they won't maybe even make it for us over here. So that was a hard one. I was digging deep for that. So yeah, it has akira on it, which are fish eggs. Number one, which you were kind of going back and forth about, was ahi nigiri, which is tuna on rice. So that's also true. But much to your satisfaction, five is also true. The taco sushi exists.
Yes.
But let me tell you, it's taco is T-A-K-O, and it is octopus.
Oh, well, that wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be, but it's still a real thing, so I'll take it.
So the one that's not is the Shibuya roll. And you...
Wow, that threw me off.
I know. Shibuya is a place, and that's why I was like, oh, this old tricker, because maybe, I don't know, people have heard of that as a city. It's one of the 23 city wards of Tokyo. So, like, we have suburbs, kind of, like, they have wards of Tokyo, and it is, Shibuya is one of the most popular shopping and entertainment areas found around a popular train station called Shibuya Station. So it's, like, a very colorful, busy district packed with shopping. It kind of, like, there's an area that reminds me of Times Square a little bit, like, dining, nightclubs, like, a lot of, you know, visual billboards, like, and stuff like that. So that was kind of a wrench. I was like, oh, it's close, but not a thing. So
yeah, it was like believable.
Yeah, yeah, that's the best lie. It's close to the truth, right? Well, thanks for playing. That was fun, and I really hope someone out there listening makes taco sushi. Yes, yeah, 10% finder's fee between Lexi and I for the idea. Okay, so as we wrap up, I just wanted to remind our listeners of where they can find you again. You are on paperandaplan.com. Well, you can tell them at...
We've got Lifestyle with Lexi, which is the more personal one, and then Paper and a Plan, which is my productivity Instagram.
Excellent. Okay, so don't forget to use the hashtag ProductivityBabe to be featured on Alexi's Insta stories. Thank you so much for being here today. I just love getting to know people in the planner community. And remember, behind every planner, there's a person. And behind every person, there's a story. See you next time. Join me next Friday to hear my guest, Monique Maldonado, as she shares with us how to be a work-at-home mama and even some awesome dance moves, if you can see that over podcast. Don't forget to use the promo code PLANPOD10 for $10 off your first order on shipped.com. That's PLANPOD10. PLANPOD10 for shipped.com. The Foxy Corn on Instagram. So we'll see how many video games, she's a gamer too, to see how many she gets in 20 seconds.
Oh, she'll probably get way more. Time. I totally blame.
But it's like that pressure. It's like if you didn't have that 20 seconds, you could probably, if we were just talking about like, oh, tell me about your favorite video games or whatever, you know, you could probably listen to no problem. But it's like all of a sudden, ready, go. And it's like, ah.
You're like, oh my God.
Exactly. Well, thanks for playing. Yeah, I'm like, there needs to be some chips and salsa on this, okay? So, yes, I think we should invent the taco sushi. What would that be? Like, Japanese Tex food? I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't even know. I was going to try to, like, mix the two together.